Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Patrick Malloy, and as you can see, it's pretty much going to be me today. So Pastor Heather is still on vacation, and unfortunately, Pastor Tom is at home with some back problems. So today I will be leading worship with the assistance of Pat Tank, who will be helping out, and also Craig Miller, who will be helping out in communion. So there are a couple announcements today, but first I guess I want to remind you to please fill out the attendance pads that our ushers will bring forward here in a minute. That way we can make sure who's here or not. And the first announcement is your bulletin insert, which is a special offering for National Student Day. If you'd like to give, your giving will go directly to scholarships and other things that help on United Methodist campuses. I can tell you from experience, your scholarships are greatly appreciated. So if you want to take a moment during service or after service and then you can just drop this in the offering or in the office. Next thing, I guess I would like to remind you for the congregational challenge to use other things besides wrapping paper. This year is what the congregation has decided to challenge itself for. So use fabric, maps, tins, jars, baskets, other things to wrap your gifts in. Another announcement for the Cookie Walk. Cookie Walk's December 15th in Upper Fellowship Hall. There's more information here at your bulletin, too, as well, if you have any questions. Linda is going to do an announcement for Starry Night.
Good morning. I'm Linda Carver. We have one more week to go until we give our community a gift of telling the Christmas story. I first want to thank everyone for all their work and their the preparation for this. We are going to, next we're going to need on Saturday a pretty big setup crew. And so that's going to be from 9 to noon, and then there'll be a lunch provided. But then after that, if you want to stick around, we're going to have a real quick kind of go through, and just to help our tour guides and our actors kind of know what to expect. So if you want to come for that and be part of the community, kind of so they can kind of take you around and the tour and stuff, that would be very helpful. If you are a participant in any way in this and you have not yet got a costume fitting, we need you to see Christy or Jill or Marion in the back behind the elevators to get costumed. So we need that done today if possible. And then parking, and there'll be an email coming out to all the participants and stuff, but for parking, we're going to be talking with K&K to see if we could use theirs and maybe shuttle people up or, you know, just the participants of our church, because we're hoping to keep everything open for the community and things. So my prayer is that this can be an impact to our community and that the Lord is going to work through it. And one great message is that we got a donkey again. So I am so psyched and so excited for our donkey. So anyway, thank you for everybody. And if you can work from 9 to noon on Saturday, we'd appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So God has been waiting for us to come and join God in worship. So why don't we take a moment and the choir will come forward and do an intro, and then we will actually be doing the Advent candles today as well. So let's take a moment.
This week, we light the candle of peace. Peace, much like the word past, needs some qualifiers and context. Does being at peace mean that we are not fighting? Maybe things are peaceful because people are afraid to speak up out of fear. Maybe peace represents not raising your voice or entering a heated debate, or everyone simply minding his or her own business. But this kind of peace looks more like apathy, which certainly isn't why we light candles during Advent.
Many names are used throughout Scripture to describe the person and work of Jesus: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace, to name a few. Isaiah points to peace as one of the signs that God has offered the Messiah to God's people. But interestingly, Jesus says in Matthew 10:34, "Don't think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I haven't come to bring peace, but a sword." This offers us a clue as to what kind of peace God desires. A godly peace goes beyond the lack of fighting or reservation or apathy. Peace is mentioned at Jesus' birth when the angel said, "Don't be afraid. Glory to God in heaven and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." Jesus, before his arrest and crucifixion, gathered his disciples together and said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I give it to you not as the world gives. Don't be troubled or afraid." When Jesus was resurrected, he appeared to the disciples who were hiding behind a locked door out of fear. And Jesus' first words were them were, "Peace be with you."
Peace is not a lack of conflict. Following Jesus will result in quite a lot of conflict with the world. Jesus is the Prince of Peace because the peace he offers is the opposite of fear. We light the candle of peace so that the light will burn away our fear of what following Christ might mean.
Let us pray. Gracious God, Father of the Prince of Peace, help us to follow where your light shines. Hope is a destination of our faith, and peace gives us the courage to start the journey. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Join me in our unison prayer.
The lights are strung on the tree, carols are played everywhere, and presents are being placed under the tree.
We thank you, O Lord, for the signs of Christmas all around, and yet we utter a bah humbug when we realize that one bulb on the lights is out, so the whole string is out. And those carols are already driving us crazy. And someone shoved us in the store to get the last item on the shelf. It can be hard to get into the Christmas spirit. Bless us, O Lord, whether we be Scrooges or Cratchits this Christmas. that we be reminded of your blessings that pour upon us all. Amen. Let us greet our neighbor now as we pass the peace. Okay, let us now share any joys and concerns that we might have.
Schroeder, I was visiting Thanksgiving Eve with Maria Green, who is the part-time hairstylist at Ridgecrest, also a second cousin, and she advises me that Mary Ellen Stroop has been moved to the health wing at Ridgecrest from assisted living. You'll recall that Mary Ellen was 97 on September 26th. Thank you.
I'm just Linda Carver, and I'm here just to tell you that Tom sends his greetings. And at Wednesday, he was in the office and stood up to answer the door and did something to his back. And from then on, he's not been able to be really to move, and it being during the Thanksgiving time, no doctors really even wanted to touch him. And so he's home right now trying to recuperate but not able to walk at all. And so just to prayers for him, for a recovery and for something to be found out about what's going on. Thank you.
I have a concern. The Thanksgiving holiday is over. The Asbury pie sale is behind us. However, we have two pies left. Both of them with Splenda, one apple raisin pecan and one apple, and I'll be downstairs in the kitchen if anyone would like to purchase either one or both of those pies. First come, first serve.
I do have a joy just to keep all of you updated. I did pass my first round of interviews last month for ordination. So I will go for interviews here in the next couple months. I don't have a date yet, but that is the next step. So one more set of interviews left. So thank you very much for your continued support and prayers.
Thank you.
Good and gracious God, we give you thanks for the gifts of life, for gifts of love and joy during this season, for gifts of comfort when we do not or cannot feel that joy, for gifts of healing and mercy, for gifts of patience and serenity, for the gifts of hope as we prepare our hearts for Christmas. Give us ears to hear and hearts to trust the promises that you offer to us in this season of Advent. Gathered here, we declare our intention to live as if the greatest gift in the world were about to be placed into our hands, and as if the giver has understood our deepest needs and our most heartfelt prayers. As we worship together, we offer ourselves to you, and we open ourselves to your abundant grace. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Our first reading today is from Galatians 6, 1 through 10. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived, and God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap it at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever you have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. All right, let the little children now come forward to hear what Pat has to say.
Hey, how are you guys? So what is this? A Christmas tree. Well, it's an ornament of a Christmas tree, you are correct. So did you guys put Christmas trees up yet?
Yeah.
Yeah? Was it a lot of fun?
No.
No? That's a good answer. Yeah? Yeah? Have you started to see presents underneath the tree yet?
No.
No? Yeah, you probably won't see those for another couple weeks, huh? You know, I always found it hard when I was a kid to not grab one of those presents as soon as they started showing up and shake them. Do you guys have you ever done that? See what's inside?
No. I can't go in my Christmas room when it's present time. I have to wait for everybody to get there.
Yeah, you have to wait for everyone. Is that hard waiting for everyone to get there where all those presents are sitting under that tree?
Yeah,
it's hard for you to go to sleep the night before you know you're going to open those presents, huh? Yeah, well, what if I told you that's what we're supposed to be waiting with anticipation this season? Because what's one of the things that we celebrate during Christmas? What do we celebrate here at the church?
God was born.
Yeah, Jesus was born, that's right. So in this season, we're supposed to be waiting for anticipation for the birth of Jesus. Because Jesus brings God down to earth so that eventually we know the story that Jesus will restore us, right? So in this season, you each get one of these to remind you, and you can take them home and they're felt, so you can decorate them however you want, if you would like, and then you can hang them up. So you'll each get one of these to remind yourself to wait with anticipation for the coming Jesus, all right? So why don't you pray with me? You can do whatever you would like with them when you take them home, okay? All right, so let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this season. It brings families together and joy in our heart. We pray that you remind us the point of the season. And we wait in anticipation for your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, thank you very much. So there's a stack right there, and then you guys can go back. Thank you. Our second reading today is from Luke 16, 19 through 31. This is one of the parables of Jesus. There was a rich man who's dressed in purple and fine linen, who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides, all this between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one crosses from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, and they may warn him, so they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." The word of God for the people of God. You are what you eat. As a child, I heard this often, more towards getting me to stop eating the junk food that I was eating, more getting me to eat the healthier food for me. But of course, as a kid, I would just roll my eyes at my parents and continue eating whatever I was eating. Now, as I had gotten older, I can firmly agree with that statement, "You are what you eat." I can no longer eat mounds of junk food without getting sick or gaining some weight. I have learned that for my part, it requires focus, intention, and an understanding of what I am eating in order to eat healthier. I bring all of this up because these are the main characteristics that I would describe Scrooge with. Scrooge is focused, he has intention, and he understands everything that has to do with his life's goal. Although for Scrooge, it's not money, it's not food, it's money. Money is the center of Scrooge's life. In his mind and his heart, and in he believes it is a life lived well. Of course, we know the story. Scrooge is going to have a long night ahead of him, but before that long night, we see Scrooge on Christmas Eve counting his money. Because for Scrooge, it's not you are what you eat, it's you are what you worship. Let us pray. Gracious God, we know this season is a busy one, with family, travel, gifts, and all of the trappings of the season. We pray that you remind us why this season is here, and we wait with anticipation for the miracle that you sent us. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this week is the first week in the four-part sermon series, The Redemption of Scrooge, by Matt Rowell. For those that aren't doing this study, I ask you to join a group that's doing this study as a small group alongside the sermons. These groups will give you a further, fuller picture of not just Scrooge, but also of A Christmas Carol, which is what these groups are, what this sermon series is following. As for the story of A Christmas Carol, I'm sure most of you know it. The book A Christmas Carol was originally written by Charles Dickens in 1843, and since that time, the story has been adapted to every type of media that has existed. It's been plays, TV shows, live TV performances, radios, it's been operas, films, and it has even received a Muppet version, which, if I may be honest, is my favorite version. All of these adaptations has made Scrooge a popular icon in today's world, to the point where the term Scrooge is in the dictionary, meaning a mean person. But what makes Scrooge a mean person? We aren't told about anything in the introduction to the Christmas story about Scrooge that would lead us to believe he is a mean person. All we are told is that he lives alone, no one asks him for money on the street, and he controls the heat at work. Other than that, the only thing we are told is he doesn't like Christmas. Why does that make Scrooge a mean person? Scrooge has a lot in common with the rich man that we heard in Jesus' parable in Luke today. We aren't told much about the rich man either. All we are told is that the rich man is rich, and that every day he left his house, there was a poor man outside of his gate named Lazarus. If you're living in the time of Jesus, when Jesus was originally telling this parable, and Jesus would have stopped at verse 20, which is the introduction to the two men, and we were to ask you, who was the good man and who was the bad man? Everyone, without hesitation, would say that the rich man was the good man. Because in Jesus' time, and still today, being blessed with comfort and money is seen as being blessed by God. So the Jews of Jesus' time would have seen the rich man as being blessed by God, for all that the rich man had was because of God. And on the other hand, Lazarus is poor. He sits and begs for money. Jesus tells us that Lazarus has a skin disease, too, because the dogs would come and lick his sores. The fact that Lazarus is sick, poor, and is struggling to survive would have been seen as a curse from God by the Jewish people. This curse was on Lazarus because of sin he committed, or sin his family committed it. Right away, though, Jesus subverts that understanding and tells us that the rich man did not go to heaven and is not blessed. The rich man is in hell. In hell, we are told the rich man is in agony, but Lazarus is in the bosom of Abraham, which is regarded as one of the highest places of bliss. This would shock you if you heard this for the first time. How can a man be so blessed in life but doomed to everlasting torment? And as Jesus continues, it gets better. We wait in anticipation for the redemption and the healing of the rich man. But as Jesus continues, the rich man who asks for help from Abraham, Jesus tells the listeners that the rich man will not receive that help. He will not receive that relief, that very little relief of the wetting of the tongue. Because even if Lazarus wanted to help, there would be a huge chasm that was created by the rich man that now separates the rich man and Lazarus. And that separation makes helping that rich man impossible. In desperation, the rich man asked Abraham to send Lazarus to his family so his family may be spared that same fate, only to be denied by Abraham once again. Why should Abraham send Lazarus? The rich man's family has the prophets, just as the rich man did. And if they won't believe the prophets, why would they believe a dead man? Though they share a lot in common, Scrooge is not the rich man in the parable. He is a rich man's family. Marley, Scrooge's friend, is the rich man. Marley died 7 years before our play starts. And when Marley comes back, we learn that Marley's actions in life did not create a chasm, but have now fixed chains on Marley. Chains that burden Marley daily. Marley has come back to try and spare Scrooge this pain that Marley now faces. Why, though? Why is the rich man and Scrooge, who seem to have done nothing wrong, why are they doomed to anguish and pain after they die? It has to do what I said a little bit earlier. You are what you worship. The author G.K. Beale puts it in his book, We Become What We Worship. We resemble what we revere, either for our ruin or our restoration. Both the rich man and Scrooge are worshiping money. Everything they do, everything they think about, is tied up in money. How do we know this? For Scrooge, he only wants one coal on the fire at a time. No one on the street asks him for money because they know he will not give it to them, and he meticulously counts every coin that he receives. Scrooge is even later approached in his office to give money to charity, and he replies with a long set of questions that leads him to the conclusion that he pays his taxes, and his taxes pay for those institutions that help. So why would he give more money? For the rich man, he knew Lazarus. He called him by name when asking for relief, and he most likely knew that Lazarus would have just needed what fell from the rich man's table. To give you an idea of all Lazarus was longing for, it wasn't the crumbs from the rich man's table. Lazarus wanted the bits of bread that were used to clean the grease off your fingers during a meal that were then discarded. If Lazarus could have just eaten those pieces, he would have been satisfied. Both Scrooge and the rich man have allowed money to blind them from the world around them. We see that Scrooge is especially cold and calculating. Because of his love of money, Scrooge has become the money that he worships. Cold, calculating, only doing things that grow the amount of money that he has. Not seeing the outside world and not seeing his effects that the pursuit of that money has done. All Scrooge cares about is how much it's going to cost him, and what is it going to do to benefit him. If we look at Scrooge this way, a worshiper of money, then we know Scrooge is not alone. There are plenty of people in this world that belong to that denomination. The good news for the world is, though, that God's economy does not follow those same rules of this world. God does not care about what you can do for God, or what perceived worth you have for God. God cares for you regardless of your perceived worth in the world and regardless of your ability. God finds you and loves you for the person that you are today. That love is not based on conditions, requirements, or your ability to pay for it. God offers that to us freely, because if God charged for it, none of us could afford it. This is a gift freely given and does not make sense to most people. In our society today, we only see what a person is worth, what a person can do for me, my company, my community, and if they can do something that I perceive as good, then I don't have a problem with it. God does not care about your perceived worth. God knows that your worth to God is immense. God has blessed each of us in our own ways and gives each of us the opportunity to use those blessings in a way that bless others. In our first reading today, we heard, "You reap what you sow." This passage is a variation on, "You are what you eat, and you become what you worship." Whatever you promote in this world is what you will reap from this world. If you sow only the coldness and calculation of money, then you will reap money, but the world will be cold and calculating around you. If you sow blessings, you will receive blessings. All that is required for it is to look for it. In looking for God and living into the world, that mission, sowing God, then we will reap God in the world. I want to be clear about something. Money is not bad. Money is needed to survive in this world, just like eating food is needed to survive. But just like food, it is the focus on it that is bad. If we see money as a blessing from God and as a tool to be used in the kingdom of God, then we are sowing the kingdom of God in the world so that it will be ready for the harvest. I started saying you are what you eat. Today is Communion Sunday. In communion, we eat bread and drink and dunk it in grape juice. If our eyes are not focused on God, then these elements stay the way that they are. And communion is just something that we do every month. If, though, we take communion with an eye towards God, then we can remember what these elements symbolize. They remind us of the body and blood of Christ. More than that, it reminds us of the life of Christ, a life that was lived sowing the kingdom of God and sharing the blessings of God with the people all around him. So as you come up for communion today, I want to ask you to think about what you have been focusing on. If you have been placing something before God or giving conditions on your faith, take this opportunity of communion to refocus on God. See how you can sow the blessings of God in this world for the harvest. Amen. I'd like to invite Craig up for communion.
Some of you may be wondering how this works. We have this tradition and, I guess you could say, requirement, which can be found in the Book of Discipline, that when it comes to consecrating the Eucharist, consecrating communion, either an elder, or in those cases where churches are served by local pastors, a local pastor is allowed to consecrate the communion. And I got a phone call from Pastor Tom on Friday, and explaining to me that he was having a great deal of difficulty with mobility at this point. And he asked if I would be willing to consecrate the Eucharist today. And actually, Patrick, as a candidate for deacon, participates in that process as well. So what I want you to do is I want you to think of me as something of a pinch hitter or a designated runner, okay? And then Patrick and I will lead you in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. In our past, you formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. In our present, your love remains steadfast. In our future, we look forward to the day when your justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when all of your people will know your redemption. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, We praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy,
Holy, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who you sent in the fullness of time to be the light to all nations. Your own Son came along to us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. Through your Son, Jesus, you brought redemption to our past, present, and future, and fed us to joyful obedience. No longer must we live as Scrooges who reap what we sow, but as those who can keep Christmas well, giving the gifts of your grace. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me."
When the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you shall drink it, as oft as you shall drink it in remembrance of me." In remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen.
Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I'd like to invite the communion stewards to come forward, those who will be sharing communion. And as a reminder, offering plates are up front, so please bring your offerings that you would have and go ahead and drop them in the plate as you come forward.
Just go ahead. No, you're doing the cup. Okay. I'm just going to grab this.
Come.
So as you go out into the world this next week and this entire season of Advent, I pray that you do so with a mindset of anticipation, with an understanding of what you bring into this world, you also reap. So please go out into the world bringing God and the light and love of Christ. Amen.